decade ago, Christmas, our family were in Hong Kong. And when you're in Hong Kong for Christmas, one of the things you do is you go down to Kowloon and you get in the Star Ferry and you go across Hong Kong Harbour to the island. Because one of the amazing attractions of Hong Kong at Christmas is the lights. And tonight I want to speak about the light. And people like Christmas lights. Earlier this world battle, it was last week actually, Marge and I went out to Hallswell. And we walked around and we joined hundreds of other people and walked up and down West Lake Drive and admired the lights. And we came back here and we thought, well, we could put some lights on the trees out the front of the church, which we've done. And Christmas is about the light. Early on in this year, I came across this comment in the press and I cut it out because I thought I'm going to keep this to Christmas because, you know, there are some people out there who want to spoil the fun. And I read this account. This is the Northampton Borough Council in England. And they decided this Christmas is going to be different because they've decided that in Northampton there are some people who may be offended by the word Christmas. And so they've decided that no longer in anything over which they have any control will the word Christmas lights be used. Christmas lights won't be referred to anymore. In future they've decided, these wise people who sit on the Northampton Borough Council, that Christmas lights hereafter will be referred to as festive embellishments of an illuminatory nature. Some people have no sense of humour. Neither will there be any Christmas trees for the good folk of Northampton. From now on, there will be horticultural festive elements. Some people take themselves so seriously. But Christmas is about light. And whatever the Northampton Borough Council may or may not think, Christmas will continue to be about the light. And I'd like to read a passage that was written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And it's the words of a Jewish prophet named Isaiah. And he had this prophecy. And he said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increase their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." I guess most of us are only too well aware that the darkness is closing in on our society. And we are seeing statistic after statistic and trend after trend which is moving in the wrong direction. Violence and abuse and the breakdown of family and marriage life. And it may be at the individual level that you've come in here tonight and you feel in your own life, hey, it feels like I'm in the darkness. You might be able to relate to the story of Anne's story when she told it to us before, that, hey, this is where I am. If you feel like this, I just want to say to you tonight, hey, you've come to the right place. Because Christmas is about light. It was right from the very beginning. When the shepherds were out on the fields that night and this glory blazed all around them, and just for a moment the veil that separates us from the spiritual world that's around us all the time was torn aside just for a moment, and they saw this incredible splendor of the presence of God and these angelic beings, and they were singing and there was light everywhere, and the wise men came And they were following a star which they'd seen in the sky, and the star was leading them to the person who was born King of the Jews. And when John came to write his account of the life of Jesus decades later and summarized the life of Jesus, you know what he said? He said, in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. You know, when the early Christian missionaries went to Northern Europe, and they first brought the Christian gospel there, and many people started becoming followers of Jesus, they were up against a pagan midwinter festival, and it was a festival of death and drunkenness and darkness. And they weren't sure what to do with this festival. As more and more people in the society were becoming Christians, they decided they would Christianize this festival. So they introduced in midwinter a Christian festival, a celebration of light and joy, a time of celebration and rejoicing. And it was a celebration of the birth of Jesus. But what's happened from that time on is that these two festivals have carried on in Western society for nearly 2,000 years. We have on the one side the Christian festival. It's now in midsummer in the southern hemisphere. But the Christian festival, the celebration of the birth of Jesus, a time of joy and gift sharing and family reunions. I mean, it's a nice time. Last Christmas, around Christmas Eve, I was out at the airport one night because our daughter was coming back from Auckland. And it's great being there, Christmas Eve, and you see all these family clusters of people standing around, and someone comes off the plane and there's hugs and kisses, and they all go off with their arms around each other, and there's something very wonderful. But there's another festival that carries on too, and both these festivals exist, and it's a festival of darkness and death and killing and drunkenness. They used to sing songs about the 12 days of Christmas. I understand the police in New Zealand refer to the 12 days of Christmas, same dates. Between December 25 and January 5, we will kill ourselves on the roads more than we do any other time of the year. More people will get drunk. There will be more violence than any other time in the year. Same dates, two different celebrations. Because you see, Christmas is about light. But it's also about choice. Because in life, all of us face a choice between light and darkness. And this is a marvelous time of the year. This is a great night of the year for you to make a decision about your future. You may be in the darkness, but you don't have to stay there. Because Christmas is all about the entry of light, of God's light into our world. That you may feel you're in darkness, but the light of God can shine in your heart this Christmas in a way you've never experienced it before. And when the light comes, Isaiah said, something amazing would happen. He said the power of militarism and destruction in the world would be overthrown. In verse 5 there, he said, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. I was reading a little while ago a fascinating book about the Pope, about John Paul II. And there came an incredibly significant moment in his life in June 1979. For the first time in more than 400 years, a non-Italian had been elected Pope. But in choosing John Paul, it was a highly significant choice because for the first time, here was a Pope who'd been brought up under communist rule, and he knew what the silent church of Eastern Europe was undergoing, and the pain and the persecution. The Polish government couldn't keep him out. And in June 1979, he flew back into Poland to the most incredible welcome, hundreds of thousands of people out on the street. And he had a gathering just outside of Krakow in a meadow. Over a million Poles turned up to hear the Pope speak. It was televised on Polish television and into Russia. The Polish communist government had said that on no account were the television cameras to be put on the crowd because they did not want anyone to know how many were there. But of course, people knew. And not only were the Central Committee of the Communist Party in Warsaw sitting in their room watching this on television, but in Moscow, members of the Politburo were sitting watching this amazing event on their screens. 1979. And apparently, as the story is told, as they watched this mass demonstration of outpouring of affection for a Christian leader, in their hearts, they knew it was all over. In their reign of terror and the death camps and the militarism and the destruction, I mean, the Russians had the most powerful empire the world has ever seen. Tremendous power of destruction, and finally it was overthrown without a shot being fired. Because the light came, and the light overcame the darkness. And this is what Isaiah said it would be like. Wherever the light of this man, wherever this light, this child that was born, wherever the light goes, the powers of darkness will be overthrown. And then Isaiah tells us that the light actually is a person. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, the light that you need in your life is a person. It isn't a philosophy or a religion or a church. It's a person. It's this man who answers to this description. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And look what he's called, Wonderful Counselor. You want someone to talk to? You think, if only someone understood the pain in my life, if only someone understood where I was coming from, here's the person who can understand. Any human being sooner or later will let you down, but this person will never let you down. Never. He's called a Wonderful Counselor. And then he's called Mighty God. Now, Isaiah, who brought this prophecy, was a Jew. The Jews were monotheists. They believed in one God. There was no conceivable way that they could believe that a human being would actually show up amongst us who would be God until he came. And there were no human categories to understand Jesus. And people worshipped him because Jesus did all the things that only God can do. He healed sick people. He raised the dead. He forgave people their sin, and only God can do that. And they said, this is God. And then he's called the Everlasting Father. You know, if it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't know that Father was an appropriate term to use for God. I talk to people who tell me they believe in God, and I say, tell me about the God you believe in. And it is some kind of force, you know, like Star Wars and this kind of thing. Most people in New Zealand who believe in God say they don't believe God as a person. Think about it for a while. An inanimate force who's given rise to personality, it can't actually happen, but never mind. But Jesus said God is a father. That he's like a parent who loves you and cares for you. And he's the Prince of Peace. Wherever his influence has gone in the world, peace has come. And then he ends this amazing prophecy by saying that this one, this child who would be born, this son who would be given, will establish a kingdom. And this kingdom will be characterized by peace and justice and righteousness. Now, is there anyone else in all human history who even remotely has fulfilled this prophecy? And the answer is there isn't. If you feel you're in the darkness, if you feel the darkness is coming in on you, you can come to this one who brings light. No one in all human history has even remotely fulfilled this prophecy. Are you ready to let the light shine in your darkness? I came across this amazing saying the other day. Bertrand Russell was a very, very clever man, lived this century. He's a philosopher, and he thought very deeply about things, but he abandoned the Christian faith. He investigated and said he wasn't prepared to believe it. And at the end of his life, he died a sad man. overwhelmed with a sense of hopelessness. And this is what he said: on man and all his race, the slow, sure doom falls pitiless and dark. Do you want to end your life like that? You know, and you might think back to that night, Christmas, whenever it was, and that fellow, whoever he was talking about light. And you know, I could have gone down that track in my life, and I could have followed this one who offers light, and I chose the darkness. And here I am, as I'm getting older, I'm getting more and twisted and bitter, and I just figure, what's the point of life? What's it all about? Is it worth it? There's a man today who's the president of Ecuador, who earlier in his life, when Ecuador was ruled by a military junta, was a demonstrator for freedom, and he got arrested by the military police in Ecuador, and he got thrown into jail and locked away in solitary confinement in the darkness. Because they treated their prisoners like this, they put them in solitary confinement in complete darkness on the assumption that after a few days you simply went mad. And he said he found out afterwards he'd actually been in his cell for 3 days and three nights because he lost all track of time. No idea what was happening. When suddenly the big steel door of his prison creaked open and someone came in, and he figured out that someone was working down in the corner of his cell, and he didn't know what was going on. They were doing something. And then they went out and shut the door again, bolted the door. And he said after a few minutes a light bulb came on and flooded his cell with light. And he said someone probably risked their life to get into his cell and to give him the light. And he said, once the light shone, then I could cope with anything. And he came out of there, and today he's the president of Ecuador. He's in the darkness. And that's what Jesus wants to do in your life. He wants to turn the light on for you. So many people think that the thing about God is he's going to beat up on us and do nasty things to us and take all the joy out of life and so on. You know, that's a lie from the devil himself. You know, God wants to impart light into our lives, not darkness. And this Christmas, what an amazing, amazing gift God offers to you. None of us have to stumble along in the darkness of our own confusion or lostness. We can come to the light. We can come to Jesus. We can invite him into our lives and receive the light he wants to give to us. In Vanuatu, last century, there was a missionary arrived. And when he arrived, there were no people on this island who were believers in Jesus. And when he died, most of the people were. And after he died, they put a picture of him in the church, one of the churches that he'd started. Peter Milne, his name was. And it said a little inscription the islanders had put under his picture. When he came, there was no light. And when he died, there was no darkness. Hey, wouldn't you like your life to be like that? That your life actually counted for something. That in all the darkness and emptiness that so many people are feeling in life today, that you could be a person who could go around and inspire others and bring light into their lives. You know how you can do that? By inviting Jesus into your life. This is a one who was born, little baby, but who grew up to be the Savior of the world. And he wants to bring his light into your life. And now it's your call. Because God doesn't impose himself upon us. He makes his move, and he waits for our response. And tonight, this night of all nights, he's waiting for your response. Now, you've come here tonight. Maybe you come to church once a year, or maybe you come once a decade, or whatever. But tonight, you can begin a journey of discovery. And you can start turning around out of the darkness that characterizes your life, whatever it is, and towards the light that only Jesus can bring. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer, and if you'd like to pray this in your heart, you just kind of pray along with me. Lord, tonight I want to say to you that I want to start turning away from the darkness that I know there is in my life. Maybe not to any other people know about it, but I know about it. And Lord, I want to start opening my life up to your light. I'm not quite sure how to do it, Lord, but I want to ask you for your help. And I pray, Lord, that you lead me into your light by the power of your love. For I ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. For those of you who are here, who are visitors here tonight, we'd like to give you a gift. And we've got a booklet called Why Christmas. And if you haven't asked Jesus into your life, but you're kind of, well, maybe this is something I could look at. There'll be two women out in the foyer here. They're just about to run off and get these books, named Gloria and Raywin. And they'll be standing just out in the foyer there. And if you would like one of these, we'd like to give you one. There's no catch. We're not going to ring you up tomorrow and say, how did you get on with the book? We'd like to give it. But if you're a regular here, hey, they're not for you. We don't have enough to give to everyone. But if you haven't yet come to this point of starting this journey with Jesus and you'd be interested in finding out more, please ask for one out in the foyer. They'll both be out there. And we'd be delighted to give you. The other thing is that we do this every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. We have a service a bit like this. Usually a bit more lights on out there. But so if you'd like to come back any Sunday night, you'd be most welcome. And seeing it's now 12:03, I'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. God bless you all.